The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Please take a seat. Thank you, worship team. Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be gathered together this morning. I just want to honour a few people this morning before I get started into our message this morning. Firstly, want to honour our youth leaders. Our youth leaders spent all day yesterday with our kids, and they were at GI Games, and I just want to honour them. Want to say thank you for giving up your day. I want to thank you for being somebody that our young people can look up to and learn from and also see Jesus in. So thank you. Also want to honour you, Steve. Thanks for getting up here, mate, and for promoting Valiant Man. Now, Valiant Man, it's our dream. It is our dream to see every single man who calls Lifestream South Perth their home to do this course, because I absolutely believe that this area of our life, this area, our sexuality, will be and is our greatest discipleship challenge. So if you can create some space to get along and to do that course, you will grow and you will be blessed and you'll be challenged. So thanks, Steve, for getting up here and encouraging us to do that. Well, church, after today, we have only two weeks left in our series, The Sermon on the Mount. And we trust and we pray that it's been inspiring, that it's been impacting, it's been challenging, and it's been life-changing for you. That's been our prayer right through this series. It's been a great series. It's been, I think, 15, 16 weeks in these few chapters of Matthew. It's been a fantastic time. But I trust today will continue to... today will be another message that will be inspiring. So we're going to continue to pursue our kingdom lives by having a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through to 23. It's going to come up on the screen. I thought we'd do something a little bit different, something that I've just stumbled upon in my kind of time with Jesus of a morning is if you look up Bible Gateway, you can click on this little speaker and it pops up a pop-up, and you can choose from the dramatic Bible read. So someone will read it for you, which is fantastic. You can read a dramatic version. You can pick a beautiful, sweet female voice to read it to you, or you can get a real deep male voice. And I've stumbled upon this, and I've just loved following along on the screen while listening to somebody reading the Word of God to me. It's awesome, and it seems to go in a little bit better. So I'm wondering today whether we can read out loud together these verses from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through to 23. So let's do this together. So verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" So, church, that is God's word for us this morning. I'd love you to join with me as I pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being with us present here today in this place. Help us to block out any distractions so that we can be focused on you and focused on your word. Bring us revelation and continue to change us from the inside out so that we will reflect more and more Christ in all that we do and all that we say. Thanks for the truth in Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 13, where it says, God means what he says, and what he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. So Lord, with that in mind, I pray that you would please cut through what needs to be cut through in our lives today. I pray that in the powerful and the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I want to also pray, as I pray every time I get up here, to pray for our little people. I want to pray that they'll grow up loving you, Jesus, firstly and foremost. And Lord, I also want to pray that they'll grow up loving your church. Please use what our amazing leaders have prepared for them today and grow them in the powerful and the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, church. Well, this week I've been reflecting on and thinking about the power of a decision. And over this last couple of months, I've been thinking a lot about my grandparents. Last Tuesday, so the Tuesday that's just gone, was the anniversary of the death of my grandfather. And on Good Friday, if you were here, you would have heard me share about my Uma, who we nearly lost the week before. But I'm pleased to be able to say, and thank you for praying, that she's well and she's back in Mandurah, back in her home, and we praise God for that. But I've been thinking about my parents a lot, grandparents a lot. The other reason I've been thinking about them is that this year Lewis has turned 13. And as was modeled to me by people like David and John with their children, I've been trying to intentionally mark Lewis's transition into manhood by just organising a few things, like just before his birthday, he got to choose a special dinner. And he loves Asian food, so we all went to 10-10. I mean, it's probably not where I would have chosen, but he chose, and that was good. And we just had fun celebrating Lewis. I also asked a whole heap of men so I asked Lewis, who do you look up to in your life? And he gave me a list of men that he looks up to, you know, his uncles and many people in this church. And I asked them to write a letter to him. And then we put a survival kit together. So I bought a box for him. I put some deodorant in there. I put, you know, a compass. And all of those letters that these men took the time to write, I put it in that box. And then one weekend, I think it was his birthday weekend, he wanted to go bush. So we went bush, just me and him. And we went down south. And I was able to take him through the box, speak into his life, read out every single letter that was written to him and for him, and I got to speak into his world. And it was just really special. So I tell you that because the next part of this transition for him, and something that I'm wanting to intentionally do, is to help him understand his place in our family. Okay? I want him to know that there have been many, many, many sacrifices and decisions that have been made up to this point so that he can live a blessed and a prosperous, awesome life here in Perth, Western Australia. And so I did a bit of research. And back in the 50s, my grandparents made a big decision. They packed up their life in Holland, in their Dutch life, and they grabbed their two kids, a couple of trunks, put all their life into two trunks, and they hopped on a ship that was headed for Australia. And it's interesting, you can do a a search now on immigration, and I was able to find my medical papers for my grandfather there, my grandfather, my grandmother, the two kids. Quite amazing what you can find on the web these days, and that's my grandfather there, and that's his medical papers. And my understanding is that they sailed via from Holland via Hawaii and then to New Zealand, and the plan was to dock into Melbourne, and that's what happened. And Umar told me that life on the boat was horrendous, people dying. It was just not a great place, a great space to be in. It was horrendous. And they were obviously super keen to get off that boat and to start their new life in Australia. But as they were coming down the gangway, the ship docked into Melbourne, they're coming down the gangway to take their first steps on Victorian soil, and my granddad overheard some people talking about Perth, Western Australia. So, as my granddad did, he asked about it, and they said to him these words. They said, "If I were you, I would turn right around right now, get back on that ship and sail to Fremantle. There's no jobs here, life is tough, you'll get a better start in WA, and there is way more opportunity in Western Australia." So, my granddad made a very, very powerful decision. He grabbed his wife, he grabbed his two kids, their trunks, and they turned around and they went back up that gangway. And they got on that boat again and they set sail for a better life in Western Australia. And when I first heard that story, I was blown away. Absolutely blown away. Firstly, that took some serious guts by my granddad, right? Serious guts to make that decision on that spur of the moment. Secondly, I'm also blown away by the fact that he was able to convince Umar to get back on that boat. I mean, he did well to do that, knowing my Umar. And then thirdly, I started thinking about decisions. I started thinking about my kids, my wife Leanne, my brothers and my sisters, my mum and dad, my life. And just like dominoes, decision after decision after decision after decision, led all the way back to that one decision my granddad made on that wharf in Melbourne. And I thought, wow, decisions are so powerful, aren't they? Decisions actually determine destiny. If you don't hear anything else today, that's what I want you to get. That's my big idea. Decisions determine destiny. And it's pretty sobering to think that I would not be here today if my granddad had not decided to get back on that boat and to sail, I don't know, it was probably another month or so, I don't know how long it takes, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, to get to Fremantle. If Grandad had decided to stay in Melbourne, I probably wouldn't be here today. I wonder this morning how your story intersects with mine. What has my story conjured up in you as you think about the decisions that you have made, or maybe even the decisions that have been made for you? Maybe your family members made decisions that led you down a certain path. Decisions determine destiny. Some decisions are big, right? Some are big, like that one granddad made. And some are really small, you know. This morning you've already made several small decisions, you know. What to wear, you know, some of us that's more important than others. What to eat. Latte or cappuccino, or what about this one? Church or ... You fill it in. You know, beautiful day this morning, but you guys chose to be here. By the way, that's a great choice. It's a great choice that you've made to be here this morning. And I believe that you're here for a reason, for a purpose. And what's super exciting about this morning is that you are placed exactly where God wants you to be. And we are talking this morning about things that have the potential to determine your destiny. So, with only a couple of weeks left in the Sermon on the Mount, it ends up with four warnings. And if you read on to the end of the chapter, you'll see there's four warnings there. I'm going to look at three in a couple of weeks. David's going to look at the fourth. But the four warnings focus on the final events in the history of the world and mankind. Each are paired contrasts. And they require from us a decision. So today I'm going to look at two ways. I'm going to look at two trees, which links us back here. Yes, I'm going to talk more about our kingdom life. Two claims. So two ways, two trees, two claims, and then Dave's going to look at two builders in a few weeks' time. The theme or the context is still the kingdom of heaven, and the reality is that some will enter and some will not. And do you know what? That is solely based on your response, on our response to the words of Jesus. What we decide to do with the words of Jesus will determine our destiny. And it will determine where we end up at the end of this life. So let's take a look at them. Two ways. We've read this together, but the narrow and the wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for the wide gate is broad and the road that it leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But the small gate is narrow, and the road that leads to life, and only few find it. So here we have two ways. You know, two is an interesting number. Two, you look at the scriptures, you'll see that two is pretty popular. It's a popular thing. But here we have two ways, each with two gates. Both of those two gates have two roads that have two destinations and two types of crowds or two types of people that are entering into these two different ways. One gate is wide, okay? The road is broad. It's crowded, and it leads where? The other gate is small. The road is narrow. Few enter this one. And it leads where? Life. It leads to life. And Jesus said in John, and this, depending on where you're at on your spiritual journey, might be super offensive to you. So, you know, I guess I don't really apologize, because I need to be true to the scriptures. And Jesus is quoted in the scriptures as saying, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. What is Jesus saying here? I am the only way. I am the small gate with the narrow road that leads to life. But the devil, on the other hand, always has a counterfeit plan to God's plan. Have you noticed he's not very original? He takes God's stuff and then, you know, he puts in our way other ways, and he attractively dresses it up to fool us into making a decision that leads us into a completely different path to the one that God intends for us. He's very good at making something look really good and making us think that, you know, all religions lead to heaven. You know, this is the wide gate. He also is the master at making something look not so good, making people think that the narrow way is very narrow. It's hypocritical. It's arrogant. It's narrow-minded. You know, who do they think they are preaching that Jesus is the only way? And that's so arrogant, so narrow-minded. And often he portrays the narrow gate as just small and insignificant. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious that it's not even on the radar of most people in our world, in Australia. But you know what? Those who decide to enter into this narrow gate enter into a path of discipleship. And this path is narrow. And it's not an easy path, because the reality is that the tough stuff still happens to people who choose this narrow, small gate. And tough stuff still happens. Tough stuff like persecution. And again, the evil one is just great at heaping persecution on people who choose this way, because the last thing he wants is for our eyes to be open to the way, the truth, and the life. The last thing he wants is for our eyes to be open to the path that leads us to life. So can I encourage you this morning? Can I encourage you to be someone who chooses the way that leads to life? Be one who makes the decision to choose the small gate, not the wide one. The small gate with the narrow road that leads to life. Be someone who constantly and continually chooses a kingdom life. What way will you choose? What way this morning will you choose? Because I want you to remember that our decisions determine what? Our destiny. Decisions determine destiny. So that leads us now to look at our two trees. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Now, a prophet. What's this all about? A prophet is someone who serves as a channel of communication between the human and the divine worlds. That's kind of the theological definition of a prophet. A prophet is someone who foretells God's word. And it's interesting, in the Message, if you've got the Message there, it actually translates it to preacher, which is a little close to home. All right, I think that's an interesting translation of the word. But a false prophet is anyone who declares anything other than what is true. And these people, they don't preach the narrow way of life. They avoid hard work. They hate persecution because they want to be popular. These people are pretenders. They claim to be God's spokesperson, but they are far, far away from it. Now, above the surface of their lives, and this is where I'm going to pick up some of our kingdom life narrative here, but above the surface of their lives, they look really good, don't they? The Message says they smile a lot with practiced sincerity, yet like sheep in wolves' clothing, they give all external appearances of promoting authentic Christianity in both work and in both whatever they say. These people's kingdom life tree look like this. There's a picture that I want to show here. Thanks, Jacob. That's what these people's kingdom life tree looks like. Above the surface looks all good, but below the surface, the roots of their lives are really shallow. And that's what can happen when our roots don't go down deep in Christ. And Jesus says that we will recognize them by their what? Their fruit. A bad tree will bear bad fruit, In other words, all that one says and does will ultimately reveal their heart, will reveal the fruit of their life. And the difference, I believe, between a good tree and a bad tree is godly character. Godly character. Good fruit is a combination of both good, godly conduct. And I've got a little, for all the mathematicians out there, it's never this simple in terms of discipleship, though. But if Jacob, you could put that up. So good fruit is a combination of both good, godly conduct. So that's our words and that's our actions, the things we do and the things we say. And good, godly character. So those two things together equals good fruit, good, godly fruit. Now, good, godly character is what's missing in the life of a false prophet or a false preacher. Character development, or if you want the big theological word for this, it's sanctification. Character development is what takes place below the surface of our lives. And there's the second picture. And again, very much linked to what we're committed to here as a church, our kingdom life. And unless we intentionally choose, there's that decision again. Today we've got an important decision to make. A decision again to take responsibility for our own spiritual development. Unless we do that, unless we spend time with Jesus developing a deeper spiritual life and doing it in relationship and in community and in church, we are not going to grow strong and healthy in Jesus. We are not going to produce kingdom fruit. Now, we might be able to maintain a respectable kind of above the surface image by going to church every now and then, putting a little bit of money in when we've got some in our wallet. Or even maybe we choose to serve on one of the ministry teams. Maybe I'll jump on the worship team. But what will that achieve? You know, you'll get tired very quickly. You'll burn out. You won't like trying to keep up appearances. And the reality is that unless you allow Jesus to disciple your character, unless your roots are tapping into the streams of living water, your Christianity will lack authority, your Christianity will lack authenticity, and it'll lack power, and it'll also lack good, godly fruit. The fruit of your life won't be good. So, church, this morning, decide to be someone who is committed to authentic relationship with Jesus. Be someone who produces through the Holy Spirit, and as He grows you into the person that He wants you to be someone who produces good kingdom fruit. And we do that by intentionally choosing to develop good character. So which tree will you be? Which tree will you be? Remember, decisions determine what? Destiny. And this leads us to our final three verses, the two claims. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Pretty straight down the line words from Jesus this morning. In the message, Jesus is paraphrased as saying this: knowing the correct password, you know, passwords are big in our world, aren't they? And I'm forever forgetting them. Knowing the correct password, saying Master isn't going to get you anywhere with me. And verse 22 says, many will say on that final day, I wonder what comes to mind when you think of that final day. You know, there's some passages of Scripture, Matthew 25, verse 31, 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 7. It's a reference to the day of judgment. And on that day, people will say, Lord, Lord, Master, we preached the message. We bashed demons. Our God-sponsored projects in Cambodia had everyone talking. In other words, we went to church, we put money in the buckets, we served on the worship team. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Ouch. Some straight down the line words of Jesus. Because, church, the truth is, and the determining factor for those who will enter into the kingdom of heaven is serious obedience to the will of the Father. That's what it says in those verses. Serious obedience to the word, to the Father's will. And what's really quite scary about these verses is that they show us just how close we can actually get to a spiritual reality without really knowing it. Do you see that? Maybe you have been able to, up to this point, fool everyone around you here on this earth and in your world and in your family. But you won't be able to fool Jesus. Jesus has the ultimate authority. Ultimately, he decides who enters the kingdom of heaven and who doesn't. But you know what, church? We have a choice. You have a choice. Because, remember, decisions determine destiny. What way will you choose? Which tree will you be? And on that day, will you know Jesus? And will he know you? So as we wrap up this morning, I want to give you some space. Some space to reflect in a few quiet moments, to allow the Spirit of God just to maybe say something super personal to you right now. So you might choose to, you might like to bow your heads, you might like to close your eyes. And we do that because it's just a good way to be focused. So just want to give you just a few moments now just to reflect on the words of Jesus. Now I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit, just speak. Speak in these few quiet moments, I pray. In Jesus' name. Words of Jesus that we've looked at this morning are a call to discipleship. They are a call to live a kingdom life. And through these words, Jesus urges us to choose life, to choose the narrow path of discipleship, to choose godly character development over rhetoric, and to ultimately choose him. What you choose will determine your destiny. So I want to leave you with two questions, two major questions that have a couple of linking questions in them. The first one is, What's the fruit of your life like? You know, if you spend the time to think that through, create some space to think that through, it'll give you a really good indication of where you're up to this morning. And my prayer for you is that you will choose to be someone who sinks your roots down deep in Jesus. Allow Him to grow you into the person that He wants you to be. What are you going to do? Maybe it's time for a kingdom life conversation. And if it is, I want to encourage you to have a chat to one of the pastors, one of the ministry team, one of the leaders, and we would love to do that with you. The second major question this morning is, maybe you're not too stoked about the fruit of your life. Maybe you're not stoked about the fruit your life has produced up to this point. And maybe some of the decisions that you've made haven't been great. And this morning, I'm wondering whether you would like to choose a new way. And that new way starts by choosing Jesus. By choosing the small gate with the narrow road that leads to life. That starts by saying yes to Him and to His way of life. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me in your heart. And I'm just going to lead you through it. You say it in your heart. And if this is you, I encourage you to pray it. Father, I know that I have broken your heart and I've broken your commandments, and my past choices and sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. And now I want to turn away from my past sinful life and choose you. Please forgive me and help me put my past behind me. I believe in God the Father. I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer this morning. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and to reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me to obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. I pray these things in the powerful and the holy name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, can you please let somebody know? Maybe the person you've come with, please let them know. We're going to, in a moment, the leadership will be down here and we'd love to pray for you and minister to you. But please come and let me know. Let somebody know. If you prayed that prayer with me just then, let me know. Because we want to give you a Bible. We want to give you some resources. We want to tell you about our discipleship structure. It's a horrible word, structure. Our discipleship life, our kingdom life in the life of our church. And we also want